Terran's back to give you deeds again. He's digging deep on Survivor to find you everything you need. So if your life is packed, let Terran and his friends break down the episode beyond what the casual see. Terran's update for Survivor.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to a Survivor Stockwatch podcast for episode 12 of season 41. I'm your host, John Armstrong, and I am here today with the great Matt Scott. How you doing, Matt?
I'm great. Happy to be here, Taryn. Happy to podcast with you and to dive into a very fun season. Lots to talk about, especially from this episode, and looking forward to it.
Yes. We are, of course, here to talk about the episode, talk about some of the decisions made in the episode, and right. And rate the players from 1 to 10 based on how well we think they're doing in the game. I knew it would be a struggle to do this, because we're beholden to the edit on Survivor.
Yes.
But I do feel like this season in particular has been quite the ride with the edit here.
Yeah, and it brings up a lot of interesting conversations. And even this past episode started with more of those interesting conversations. But I feel like, I didn't want to give Jeff Probst the credit, but this is a new era of Survivor. I didn't think I'd ever say that. It feels wrong, but it is a new era. It's different than normal Survivor.
You just dropped the four and you kept the one.
Yeah. Like we're all starting from the beginning all over again, which is a lot of work. We put in a lot of work over the last 40 seasons, so I don't want to drop the four, but I get the concept.
All right. Well, let's get into this, this episode. We'll talk through, some of what we saw. I feel like strategically it is certainly not one of the more complex episodes, but I actually did really enjoy watching it. It wasn't like the action-packed, tons of strategy all over the place kind of episode that I think we're used to in the post merge of the season. But I liked it. It felt like a moment to breathe and really live mm-hmm. with the players remaining. And the opening of this episode is a big testament to that because we had this big moment at Tribal in the last episode where Deshaun talked about being black and the weight that was put on him. And they had this big discussion. And they're not just going to be like, so that happened. It's like, no, let's go back. This is a thing. It happened and it impacted these players, into the next morning. They're still talking about it. And we're still going to kind of try to examine what this means for them.
Yeah, and I thought it was really powerful. First of all, just the way that you and Pridium were talking about it last week, I thought really did the moment justice in a lot of ways. And kind of to see the conversation continue was great because I don't think it's a conversation that should just be left at the tribal as if nothing happened. It clearly affects Deshaun to be a black person and kind of have to weigh the weight of that identity versus your identity generally as a player in the game. And so what I found so fascinating about the conversation continuing was just the fact that we also had Erica weighing into the conversation and we had Heather weighing in more and kind of giving her perspective. And so, it was really nice and kind of refreshing to see that we didn't just drop that conversation and leave it. We could drop the four, keep the one, but let's not drop the important conversations and bring them into each week. And so I was a big fan of that. And I think it really does hit home the fact that Deshaun is really broken up for a reason. This is a heavy decision. And I think that the show did him justice and the conversation justice by giving it just a little bit more time in this episode.
Yeah. I've seen a lot of people make note of the fact that in a lot of the exit interviews, people are describing Deshaun as emotional, as a player that was like really out there at times and really couldn't control his emotions. And I wonder how much of that you know, again, like comes from this. I mean, he certainly has explained in that tribal that like when it came to Shan, it was a huge part of it and the aftermath from the Shan vote and all of that. But I also wonder like, you know, if people had the same perception of him in the pre-merge, as they did in the post-merge, because I think that's where like it really came to a head with him, right? Because prior to that moment, you know, it's still something that existed, obviously. That's sort of the whole point, is that it's not something that just like pops up. It's something that he carries around all the time, but it definitely came to a head when he had to start working, or when he did start working with Shan, and it was like, can I, should I, and all of that. So that's definitely something I'm curious about when it comes to, you know, how the other players saw Deshaun and see Deshaun.
Yeah. And I think you made a great point there, Taryn, that it's, you know, his blackness in the game and, you know, really more broadly, the identities of anyone in the game. I mean, we hear Erica talking about wanting a woman to win the game. Like, these are all things that everyone came in with. But then, you know, we're to day 22 and, you know, you have not only the weight of that identity on your shoulders, and then also this conflict of, oh, I had to take out Shan. Liana's out now. Like, I feel like I'm betraying my identity from his perspective. I think it's just, it seemed to me like it's just been a lot that's been bubbling up and has become really overwhelming for him. And now it's kind of hard to watch in some ways, because the last couple of episodes, the Deshaun that we've seen seems totally different than the one that we saw at the start of the season. And I think that's a reflection again of just how difficult of a situation it is to be in, but also just how difficult the game is. Maybe it would be more difficult if it was 40 days. I would assume it might be, but this is still very difficult for him to carry, obviously.
Yeah. And to see somebody like Deshaun, who I think for me, at least in the beginning of the game, and again, everything is so subject to the edit, but he did seem so in control and so like he was definitely, it seemed like one of the people that was running the game, to get to the point where he is now is an interesting sort of character study of that. Like where did it happen? How did it happen? And the ways that it happened, I'm sure that, you know, the lack of, you know, vegetables and meat and cake and cookies, certainly didn't help. And the fact that he didn't even want any obviously points to some kind of, you know, lack of, proper thinking, right?
Clearly, if you ask Jeff, that's what we'd be led to think. I mean, I will say, and we'll probably talk about it more later, but Jeff really did turn his back on loved ones this episode. You know, I thought that he saw them as fuel, as being there to, you know, just as good as candy and cake in my eyes. And at least that's what Jeff has said in the past. And so that was really interesting to see. But again, like, even skipping to that comment that he was making about wanting letters from loved ones, it sort of hints at the state that Deshaun's in, that like a letter from a loved one preferable to cake and candy or chicken and vegetables. So I don't know. I think Jeff kind of brushed over that one, but I do think there's actually potentially something deeper within that that stuck out to me, at least when I was watching and rewatching over the last day.
Definitely. And they kind of, they play it for laughs and it's a funny moment, but I do think that it's sort of, contributes to this overarching, you know, character arc for, Deshaun in general, that, you know, cause he is such a strategic player. Like, he's always thinking strategy. Even though, again, people are describing him as emotional, I've always seen him as somebody that's like always trying to look at the strategic angle of things. So for him to be like, I don't need the fuel, I need the love, I need the comfort right now, is so interesting.
Yeah, but I think like more, it would be interesting to see Jeff, you know, like take that comment seriously and kind of dive in and dig in deeper. Because I like, again, your identity is something that pervades like every aspect of the game, whether it's you competing in challenges or how you interact with people. I don't know if Jeff fully sees that. And that's kind of a hint to me that like, I want to hear what Deshaun would have to say about that moment. And actually about all of what we saw from him this episode, because there were definitely ups and downs, though. He ended in probably the best place, which is to not be out. So rough ride.
I think what Jeff was thinking in this moment was
grilled cheese back at camp.
Yeah, I get it. You have to really sell the. I wish it was grilled cheese, actually.
This is the
cake, cookies, and can.
Cake, cookies,
worth playing for?
And can.
Yeah. Yep.
I love the alliteration.
Yeah, I don't need either of them. I thought we were going to come in and maybe say like a letter, family letter, something like that.
Maybe.
I mean, fair. You know, so
that's the proposition. Jeff replies with
every other day it's no rice, no food. What is this, Survivor? Today I say you get a choice: chicken and veggies, which will just fuel you for the immunity challenge. Or if you really have a craving for sugar, you can have that. And you say you want a loved one letter.
I actually included this in the episode, Taryn. Like this was so important. Jeff hitting the point home. That no, you eat, but I love the distinction that it's like letters from home or cake, cookies, candy, or chicken and vegetables. I honestly don't know if it's like I think I might go for the loved ones letters, especially with only a few days left.
Jeff reads to me like a parent, right? Like a parent, yes, who like his child has been begging him for a toy for 22 days, and he finally got the toy, and then he's about to give the toy to the kid, and the kid's like, actually, I just want a hug. He's like, what? I just got you the toy that you've been begging for. And it's like, whoa, dude, he just wants a hug.
This is really relatable. I'm a very confused parent, I'll say, by the way, because you all like, hey, you can have the vegetables or you can have the candy. Like, what's that? What's that about? What's that choice about? Is there a choice between candy and vegetables in the first place? Forget the letters. Like, what kind of choice is that, Taryn?
In this moment, Jeff is like, where's Angie? I need Angie back. She would have been so happy about these cookies.
Yeah, there are a lot of people that might have been happy about the cookies. Now, if it was peanut butter that was with the, I mean, it wouldn't fit the alliteration, but I think there might have been more of a conversation there.
What would be with peanut butter? What other pea?
Peanut butter, peas,
pepperoni.
Pepperoni Hot Pockets.
There you go. Pepperoni pizza. There we go.
Oh. What?
I went with pepperoni before I went with pizza.
I just like the idea of there being peanut butter, peas, and Hot Pockets together. Like, just throw in a random combination.
Yeah, this is the 3 a.m. going to a drugstore reward.
Yeah, whatever you could get off the shelf, they just sent whatever producers, like, go see what you can get at the local Fijian CVS and pick that up. But hey, I mean, whatever. I appreciate the alliteration. I don't know. I'm just saying, maybe I would like pizza or Hot Pockets.
Yeah. Well, Deshaun crushes this reward challenge, which is going to be used in some of the arguments about whether or not they should keep him or Danny. So of course they choose the vegetables and meat. You know, for Xander, that is candy.
This is Xander candy.
Xander candy.
I didn't need to hear that.
You didn't need to hear that?
Oh. Xander candy.
Yeah, this one.
This is Xander candy.
Oh, Xander candy?
Yeah, that one.
Oh, you know, the more I hear it, it's kind of growing on me a little bit. I'll be honest, like Xander candy. I think that he needs to put that on a t-shirt or like,
he's got a lot of great little, like, I mean, how many episodes have been named after his quotes at this point? And they didn't even give him Mergatory, which was great.
Mergatory, Xander candy. Yeah, I like that. And it adds something, the deep voice, really, like, really, and Xander candy. Yeah. Love it.
Xander candy.
Ooh, look at that. So smooth. Oh, Taryn, don't play that again. That's just, it's too good to be true.
Well, we talked about this before. He's paleo. So this is, that's why they were talking like, oh, this is perfectly fit for your diet.
It's Xander candy. That's literally, that's exactly what he needs.
Well, okay. So last week, I talked about how I felt like, I didn't know where Xander was going. I did not like the use of the extra vote. And overall, I felt like where's this heading? He absolutely needs to go straight for Ricard this round. And right in that intro, we see that he's ready to go. He knows now is the time to take the shot at Ricard. And him, Deshaun, and Erica are going to talk about how Ricard needs to go. Deshaun is like, yeah, that's what I was saying last time.
Yeah, I mean, and I think the other thing, just to stop in on Xander for a second, that I liked about him even leading up to this reward and this conversation where they're making this final three, I'll say that with air quotes, is the fact that Xander sort of built his trust with Ricard while at the same time totally targeting him, which, I mean, it seems like everyone's targeting Ricard at this point. And it felt like the conversation that the three had together at the reward was kind of an obvious conversation. Like, yeah, we need to take out Ricard. Like, I don't know if that was anything novel or innovative in any way, but it seemed to be like a good conversation for them to have. They messed up, though, by not talking about a backup plan if Ricard wasn't able to be voted out, which of course he wasn't because he won immunity.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think part of that is that like the backup plan includes Deshaun a little bit, right? So it's like hard to make that backup plan. And then there's also kind of like the implied backup plan, which is like, because you're making this deal with us now, it won't be you, but you're probably not going to like it. It's going to be Danny. I felt like that was part of it. Yeah, but they're going to make a final three here. Mm-hmm. And I thought this was interesting because obviously they can all agree, yeah, let's absolutely take out Ricard. But going as far as a final three was particularly interesting for me because I have to imagine that everyone wants to be sitting next to Heather in the end. Particularly Erica. We'll find out later that might not be the case.
Right.
But like Erica has this duo with Heather. Everybody can beat Heather. Is Deshaun really going to turn on Danny for these two? Like maybe he realizes that Danny has a good chance of beating him in the end, but we didn't really hear much of that. For me, when I was hearing them talk about this as a final three, I was like, not a single one of them is going to believe this is real, right? No way.
I mean, that's what I was thinking too. And, to your point, I don't see a world where Deshaun, again, going back to the emotion that was overcoming him, like, I don't know if Deshaun could vote out Danny and take him out and then still, like, walk another day on that island, or I guess on the new island, which we'll talk about more later, without just being completely broken up. And so, they tried it. I mean, it made sense though that they did have this conversation. I think it was especially good for Erica, because it kind of seems like, especially after this vote, that she's planting her feet in a lot of different camps, so to speak, and creating all these different relationships. But in this conversation, they tried. I mean, it's good to, it made sense to have the conversation. It wouldn't be Survivor if they didn't make a final three in that spot. What would they do, Taryn? Eat their chicken and vegetables? Like, what is that? Is that a thing? Just eating?
I guess so. Yeah. Just quietly.
At a reward?
Like, just like,
great broccoli.
We're taking out Ricard and that's it.
Have you ever thought that this broccoli looks like small trees?
Oh no. Hold on. I've made too many clips of this.
Wait, let me try that again.
Losing her mind. She thinks everything's food.
Yes, I was like losing my mind. I didn't realize it until just now, but broccoli are just small trees.
Small trees. This is the better one.
Yeah, we're going to rice.
Yeah.
You know, Clark. Oh, sorry, Brad.
Oh, I'm sorry, Jeff. You know, I was hoping it was the salt water.
It's so long, but I need to hear it.
But the fact is, I'm just turning into a little bit of a twig and just kind of a fuzzy top. I feel like a broccoli. So broccoli is grown little bunches on small trees. So I feel like a little broccoli tree.
Why? Who would have thought that Brad, that we'd be taught that, that I would say, that any of us would say Brad's name at this point. Wow.
R.I.P.
Look at that. R.I.P. Bring him back. I don't know where to bring him back to, but bring him back somewhere.
Danny's going to go searching for an idol. This was a weird sort of editing choice. I liked it. It was different, you know. We got a little bit of intrigue, a little bit of mystery, I guess. They try to imply that he's going to find it, but then he does not find it. But we don't know that yet. And we have like Ricard and Heather, like, ooh, he's acting like he has it. I think to me and probably to them, it kind of implied like, maybe he doesn't, right? Maybe he's pretending.
Yeah, but also, it was strange to me that I think before we find out that Danny doesn't actually have the idol, Ricard makes some mention of, like, I'm never this wrong, which to me just stuck out. Like, I think you might be wrong about this one, friend. But that just stuck out. He was very wrong, and Danny tried. But I did think it was interesting, and maybe rightfully so, that Ricard picked up on, you know, what did he say? Like, Danny came back humming and whistling and skipping and something like that into camp, which I guess means that you found an idol.
I mean, it's a very, like, pretending to have an idol, it very rarely actually does anything for you, because at best, you just get them to split votes, right? And usually people aren't able to capitalize on that. But it's still not a terrible play, like, to introduce uncertainty. The fact that they split their votes rather than put all their votes on one of you when they didn't have to does give you an opportunity to maybe flip one person, or, you know, I'm sure we'll talk about the 2-2-2 play that they could have tried. But it usually comes with, like, it's usually executed as, oh man, just came back from gathering some wood.
Oh yeah, really? Yeah.
Yeah. What, this bulge in my pocket? Oh no, I don't know. What are you talking about?
I wasn't going to say anything about that.
What? Mm-hmm. No, never.
I hope you had a nice walk.
Yeah. Whereas if you actually find an idol, you just walk in like, right?
It's like, oh yeah. Oh man, I wish they had toilet paper on this island. Oh, it's beautiful weather today. Huh?
Or if you're JD, you walk up with I guess
you're out of your pants.
Yeah.
Oh gosh. Yeah, I mean, there are lots of ways to do this. You have to appreciate how critical, and it's very much to his character, to form for Ricard to be assessing, watching closely. But you know, I did pay attention to the fact that, like, virtually no one else seemed to think that Danny had an idol, or it wasn't really voiced or brought up as a concern either way. I think maybe, you know, other than Ricard's comments, he was discussing that with Erica at one point, and then Deshaun references, well, I guess we'll find out if Danny has an idol tonight at Tribal. But to your point, it kind of seems like they weren't too bought in on Danny having an idol. Sorry for Danny. Sorry to that man.
Yeah. I mean, it did its job. We are going to get more conversation between Deshaun and Erica talking about the final three that they made. And it appears that Erica really does want to consider not going to the end with Heather. And the reasoning that she uses is the reasoning that Deshaun says, and I don't know if this came from Deshaun and that influenced her, or if it came from her and he just sort of like validated it and he said, oh yeah, that's definitely a good line of reasoning. But she feels like their games might be too similar, and so she might end up losing votes to Heather. Now, I feel like they could be implying here something that's like a little bit more extreme than what might be reality, where it's like, it seems like they're implying that she's worried she might lose to Heather. And she might instead be saying, I'm afraid that if I'm in a final three with Heather and my main competition is that third person and mm-hmm. Heather is there, that I might lose a vote or two to her because, right. You know, we're, you know, it's a duo rather than a single person. We played similar games, which would make a lot more sense to me because it is like that does make a little bit of sense if it wasn't Heather. But I still just feel like, this is such a gimme. You just bring Heather. It's that's easy.
Yeah. And I mean, I think the thing that's important here, at least from my perspective, because I agree with what you're saying. I think that makes sense as being what Erica would be concerned about. But, you know, she spoke about this, being concerned about the jury's ability to differentiate her game from Heather's game, which to me reflects not necessarily even jury management, but just the perceptions of the jury. And I think that's a very astute observation because for us at home, like I remember watching, like you think that Heather would take votes from you? Haven't you been watching the show? But of course she hasn't been watching the show. She's on the island. So I think that to me, it's this thought of like, how do I make sure that I'm showing the jury how I'm different or how my game's strong. And I think she did a really solid job of that at this last tribal in particular, at least again, based on what we saw, just distinguishing the fact that she is a strategic player compared with Heather. I wonder if Erica's going to be concerned about this going forward. I would be pretty surprised if we hear more from Erica about how she needs to cut Heather. But I also will mention the fact that I think that there's probably also something to the fact that, like, you know, if Erica is the only woman in the final three, that's another way of distinguishing herself from the two other people who are in the final. And she's able to make that stronger case of, like, I want a woman to win this game. That's not obviously not her only argument, but that's a much more difficult argument. And I don't even know if it's something that you could bring up if Heather is sitting there when it's like, well, if that's your argument, then we might as well just vote for Heather, which, you know, it's complicated. But I think Erica's doing a great job here navigating and thinking through putting herself in the jury's shoes.
Well, I mean, I think that I would say that under most circumstances, I love that she seems to have convinced Deshaun that she's willing to cut Heather. And if it was a lie, I would really love it. It doesn't appear to be a lie, so I don't love it as much. But I do like what it can do for her in a few different ways, right? One, it implies that she's loyal to Deshaun in a certain way, convinces him that she has incentive to take him and thus he should want to work with her. What I think is going to happen, we'll talk about this when we get into the ratings, but I think that Erica is in a spot where she's basically going to be making fire unless she wins Final Four immunity. Mm. And that's because who's going to put Heather into fire? Right? And who's worried about Heather? Like, she's always going to be the person that gets pushed up in front. And even this late in the game, that can be pretty risky here for the end game. So if she's saying like, hey, there's actually not that much of a difference between me and Heather when it comes to our threat with the jury. You know, she could win, I could win, who knows? So at that point, you might as well just be loyal, like stay loyal to the one that's been working with you rather than cutting me as the obvious threat between the two of us. Now, how successful is she going to be at that? Who knows? But, you know, it does seem like it's at least a little bit out there in her own head. So that could be a small benefit. I'm not sure if it actually works, though, especially now that it's out in the open. And again, I would say under normal circumstances, I would like that if she was lying. I don't think she is lying. And also, these aren't normal circumstances because Deshaun is going to drop a bomb later, which is going to be potentially bad for her as well.
It's what we like to call a choice, what Deshaun did with that, his truth bomb. But yeah, I think, you know, at the end of the day, I think probably what we'll find out is that there's a little bit of truth in what she was saying with Deshaun, but also some strategy. And maybe that's what makes Erica, I don't know, in my eyes, the winner we need, but we'll see. We'll see. Yes.
So the only other thing to talk about here with Deshaun and Erica is that Deshaun says that he just wanted to get Erica to say this out loud. That was his goal, which definitely implied that he was the one that kind of like got it out of her and potentially even convinced her of it in the first place. I like this for obviously a lot of reasons. One is that like if he genuinely convinces her to go with him instead of Heather, that's fantastic. But also even just what he said about getting her to say it out loud, it does give him options, right? Like now, he's in a spot where, she has said this thing. He can use it against her in a spot that makes sense to in the future. Right. If that's useful, he can. But also even if she is lying to him and he is not fully convincing her, the fact that she is saying these things out loud, it's more of a realistic option to consider at that point, right? It's like a worm that comes to her head about like, what if that's real though? Like he seemed to buy that so easily. What if Heather can beat me in the end? And it might open her up just a little bit. So I really liked that approach. And prior to Tribal, I really liked what he accomplished.
Yeah, and it should be interesting to see how much of that sticks. So is Erica going to have those doubts going forward? Because that's a huge difference maker. Like if Erica doesn't think that she's going to win the game for whatever reason, and if others don't think that she's going to win the game, in a lot of ways, it's a self-fulfilling prophecy because you're not able to make the best arguments. You're not actually thinking that you're going to do it. And I think, you know, you have to believe that you're going to potentially win the game if you want to put together an argument that's going to successfully convince the jury to vote for you. And so I'm not concerned about Erica going forward, but I definitely want to watch out for that in the next episode. Well, last episode. Oh my God. It's coming up.
Finale. Yeah.
That's scary.
So we get to the immunity challenge and of course, Ricard is going to win here. It was way too obvious that he was the target. Something had to give. And Ricard is going to win. He says that he was thinking up all of the possible Survivor four-letter words. I feel like Jeff is really starting to stretch for these like, you are a master of this challenge. Like, how many of the words in that very challenge were Survivor related in the first place? Like three one. out of the like six?
I think I counted one in its vote.
Like, there you go.
Others are pretty replaceable.
And also, it was a lot less about the words and more about getting the puzzle pieces to fit where words made sense, right? Mm-hmm. So, all right. I mean, certainly all props to Ricard, but like, yeah.
I mean, I will say, I wonder, and I wanted to go back and look at this to see if we could kind of get a sense of like his thought process. And again, we don't have like live feeds or anything where we're able to actually see the competition in real time. But if based on Ricard's explanation, Taryn, like it seems to me like the word vote might be the most obvious word if you're going through your four letter Survivor words, because like don't and make and this and next and your and last don't really
make this your last vote, right? That was the thing.
But and I think at the same time, it's like it maybe there's a world where he saw the word vote and then was able to sort of piece a little bit together around it, giving him a lot of credit. I don't love Jeff asking this question either way, because I would, you know, if I were in Ricard's shoes, I would want to just kind of like, Jeff, I don't know. It was luck. I don't know. I don't know what happened. The words, I took English class growing up every single year, and this is the product of it. Like asking about his strategy in the challenge, like let's just downplay it. Let's just downplay what happened there and be happy that I have immunity if I'm in Ricard's shoes.
Yeah. And it's also like, it's not like Ricard just like dominated the challenge like heavy.
No.
Right? Like
no.
finish the puzzle in 3 seconds. Like Danny was really close, or Deshaun was really close. And it was like, why do you even need like a reason? Like this wasn't Stephen Fishback, like wrecking the, you know, the memorizing all the things, getting it in one try. Like it was just, he just competed normally in one.
Yeah, I don't know. Jeff was looking for something to say after the fact. Like, what else would he have asked about? Like, I don't know.
Once you've won enough, right? Like, it's like, oh, yeah, back here again, huh?
How does it feel for the third time? Oh, yeah. You can't do that. Come on.
All right. Well, after the immunity challenge, Erica says, I didn't really think about what we'd do if Ricard won. So the question becomes, does Danny have an idol? No, he doesn't. But he'll pretend that he does. And so that pretty much immediately loses relevancy though, until they split the vote. The real question is, which of the two of them, which of Danny and Deshaun should go? And we get a couple of different debates. Xander seems to feel like keeping Danny around is best because Danny has a better shot of beating Ricard. Heather and Erica seem to disagree. And there's a lot of talk about like who's better at competitions, who's worse at competitions. For Xander, Erica, and Heather, they're all, you know, talking about like, well, we want the best person at competitions so that they can beat Ricard. Then when Erica talks to Ricard, it's like, oh, well, we're trying to pick the worst person at competitions so that they won't beat you. And for me, I felt like this was all fluff. None of them care about the competitions and who's better at them. It all came down to what Deshaun talks about, which is that Survivor's built on your social game. And Xander's always been close to Danny. Erica and Heather have always been closer to Deshaun, as they are going to describe. Ricard could go either way. Hasn't really had a huge relationship with either one of them individually, like separate from the other, right? So that's the real sort of struggle here. And I think we're hearing a lot from Erica about why she wants to keep Deshaun around. She has a better relationship with him. She just made this deal with him. And she seems to be the one that's going to carry this vote.
Yeah. And one thing that Erica mentions here too, that I don't know, I just want to question it, is that she's saying voting out Deshaun is a move that's the best move for her game, but it's not good for anyone else's. And it's kind of just left there and there's nothing to challenge that, but I'm not sure if that's true. I don't know what is true, but I'm not sure if it's only good for Erica's game. But it is interesting that that's kind of the note that we, one of the notes that we leave the chaos on.
I mean, I do genuinely agree with Erica and Heather both, who kind of say Deshaun's better. Deshaun is better at competitions. I mean, yes, Danny won one of them, but I feel like Deshaun has more consistently been in there in the competitions, coming close to winning the competitions. And I feel like the things that Danny is good at, are similar to what Xander and Ricard are already good at. And Deshaun has a separate skill set that is, I think, a little more likely to be able to compete in areas that maybe Xander couldn't. Either way, it's such a gamble, and you really should just go based on your social bonds at that point, I think.
Especially looking at this episode, like Danny in the challenges, not great, but I mean, you know, that you don't really know what challenges are going to come up. And so there's no telling exactly how things will go. And then even within each challenge, regardless of what it is, so much could happen. There are so many variables. So, you know, I'm with you. And I like that point of like, it's not about who's a threat in the challenges. And, you know, but to me, it helps show like just the brilliance of Erica. I liked the fact that Heather, I want to give credit to Heather here too, for also just kind of pushing that point successfully. And you know, good for them that they were able to make it happen.
Yeah. Again, I feel like this is so important that, because Deshaun says this, he says that Survivor is built on your social game. And he specifically says that that's the area in the game that he has shined. He's built these relationships. He's built hit relationships. He's built these bonds. And yeah. Danny hasn't, he said.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's, you know, that's being said like right before Tribal. And then exactly. The outcome is the outcome. So I think we're really led to believe that like this is the case. And I do think that Danny had a much better chance of winning the game than Deshaun did in terms of the jury vote. But that does not necessarily mean that he had more bonds and relationships with the players in the game, right? I think we see this all the time. In fact, in some cases, having fewer relationships and fewer bonds helps you with the jury because you've betrayed fewer people and they can sort of like respect your game more as somebody that was a separate entity. I feel like that's the difference here, at least. In Danny's exit interviews, he's talked a little bit about how he felt like he was closer to Sydney on the tribe, and it was sort of Deshaun's role to be with Erica and Heather. And so, unlucky for him, Sydney ended up leaving. Erica and Heather stuck around, and so his people were already gone. But I do think this kind of tracks throughout most of the season where Deshaun also had those relationships with Evie and with a few others. And I think that, you know, it's probably true that Danny had a better relationship with Shan, and Danny probably had a better relationship with, certainly did with Xander, right? So Danny definitely did have some, but I do feel like, you know, Deshaun is stating it here. The episode's kind of implying that it's the truth. And I'm inclined to believe that it's the truth, that Deshaun probably did outshine Danny in this specific area of the game.
Yeah. And I'll also mention that in the scene you're referencing right before Tribal, that Deshaun specifically references his relationships from Luvu with Erica and Heather. And so we kind of leave after Tribal on this point of like, well, okay, where do those relationships stand exactly due to truth bombs? But the other thing I think to give Danny a little bit of credit here, especially as a newer Survivor fan and as an NFL player, probably someone who you wouldn't think would get this far and who I definitely did not give this credit, the credit that he deserved to. You know, I think that's the game that he kind of had to play. It's probably how he shows up in the world, you know, an insanely likable guy, not ruffling too many feathers and kind of just continuing on that path. It could have worked for him and gotten him to the end, but of course, it didn't. Sad times for Danny.
Yeah. Well, we get to Tribal. Deshaun says, he calls it out right away. He says, here's what's going to happen, Jeff. They're going to split their votes. We're going to revote. And then it'll be one of us.
Right.
And they talk a little more until Deshaun says, look, I've got some information. If I'm going to go out anyway, I'm going to go out swinging. I got some information.
Erica will not be taking you to the inn, Heather.
Ooh. Erica will not be taking you to the end of there. This is the title.
Truth bomb.
Yes. Here's the thing about Deshaun. I've been a big fan of Deshaun. I, you know, even though again, like his social game seems to have deteriorated, I really like, him as a player. And I feel like a lot of the decisions he's been criticized for, I feel like I've been able to come up with like, oh no, I feel like this does actually make sense. And maybe he was in a spot where, I like this call. He's made a couple of decisions where I've been like, I don't like that one. This is probably the first time I've looked at a decision made by Deshaun and been like, all right, I have no idea what you thought you were doing here. I have no idea what you thought this was going to do. Cause I just can't see almost any upside to this.
And it's sad too, because they call it out in the moment. I believe Ricard's the one who's like, I don't understand why you would make this move when there's a chance that you could still be aligned with Erica. And the sad part is Deshaun just kind of takes it like, that's a good point. You didn't have anything. Deshaun, we were rooting for you. Come on, just at least have some explanation of why you would do that rather than immediately backing down. That was hard to watch.
Yeah, the only way that this would help Deshaun, I think, in any conceivable way, is if somehow by doing this, he put the idea into at least one of the players' heads that, like, hey, wow, I was going to vote out Deshaun, but that was so dumb. And now Erica hates him. And now he's definitely the lesser threat of the two.
Right.
Okay, maybe we should change our minds. But then they would have to, like, discuss it with everyone. It would have to turn into a live tribal that where it's like, okay, well, now we're going to keep Deshaun because he just did that. And for me, the chances of that happening are so, so much lower than the chances of a live tribal happen where they're like, screw this guy, get him out of here. Because that's the first thought, right? Like, it takes a second to emotionally process what he just did and then realize maybe it might be a good idea to keep him. But even then, it's like, how do we convince Erica to keep him in this moment while she's still reacting to it's a shot against Erica to do that. It's not going to happen that way. If it's going to change anything, it's more likely and much more likely, in my opinion, to change things against him. You know, Erica could go, you know what? I'm just going to throw one extra vote on Deshaun and hope that there's right. no, you know, pull a Tyson essentially, just to get him out of here. I can't believe he did that. If I had to guess, because I would love to hear from Deshaun if there was a deeper strategy here, but it felt more to me like genuinely, if I'm going to go out, I'm going to go out swinging. Here's my last bit of influence over the game.
Yeah, I got the sense in just watching him that it's sad because it kind of does feel like he was a little bit over it by that point in the game. And I think, you know, you could imagine, especially once Shannon and Liana are out and he's at this point in the game, like maybe he doesn't fully see his path to the end. And it's interesting because there's one point even before the tribal, I think this was as he was talking about his social bonds, that he was saying, like, this is where I want my social capital to pay off. It's like, no, you want that to really pay off at the final tribal. So, I mean, you do want it to pay off to keep you in the game because you can't make it to final tribal, but you really want it to pay off at final tribal. And so that, you know, concerns me a little bit that he was so much in the moment. I do believe that he was in the moment thinking, I might be going here. I mean, we just saw him last week with the last tribal. Like, there was a very, very real chance of him going from different angles, even if he didn't have the do or die twist. And so, you know, if he's emotionally exhausted and ready to go and maybe doesn't have all of his strategic ducks in a row, I personally can't blame him, but it doesn't show great strategic chops there, at least great control of his strategy in the game at this point.
It did make me wonder, because last week I talked a lot about how with the do or die twist, like if Deshaun is definitely going to be voted out here, then it kind of makes sense to be put in this spot. And it was kind of just assumed that, yeah, Deshaun was the target. Danny was the backup. But considering that they had the option this round and they chose to take out Danny, it makes me wonder if Danny was actually the primary target last week and Deshaun was the backup. They both ended up safe. So, you know, we don't know. But again, considering the outcome here kind of does seem to imply that it would have been Danny if neither of them had been safe.
Yeah. And I think, you know, something that I wouldn't be surprised to see at all going into the next episode is, again, just how broken up Deshaun might be over Danny being voted out. If the reaction to Liana going this past episode is any indication. And so, you know, in a lot of ways, I could imagine how it could feel like a no-win situation. You know, either you're voted out, which, you know, depending on Deshaun's like state in this game and how he's feeling and if he feels like he has what he needs to get through the next 4 days or 3 days of the game, you know, maybe he's able to push through. But it's probably not, I mean, it's definitely not a great position to be in either way, to have Danny voted out. And so I would expect next episode to see just the weight of that on Deshaun. But I mean, we'll see. And then that, you know, coupled with the fact that we had this move that he attempted to make with the truth bomb, I don't know how Deshaun's going to make it through the finale or the next vote, but we will see.
Yeah, this is rough. So, you know, Ricard says you may have still had room to play in this game, Deshaun. I don't know if this was the right call. Erica is like, well, you know, this is very fitting because, you know, we've been back and forth and I've never known if I should trust you. And, you know, now I know, bud. Now I know, yeah. I can't trust you. And she says of Heather, she says, well, I'm sure Heather has also thought of an end game without me.
I love that. I loved it. And I liked how Erica really downplayed what Deshaun just did. So you have Ricard, who is really poking holes in Deshaun's approach here with the truth bomb. And then you have Erica, who could have freaked out, could have had an emotional reaction or a big reaction to what happened, or even, you know, really pushed back against Deshaun in this place. But just kind of just like, yeah. I think Erica's probably considered it before, which, like, whether or not Erica's seriously thought about taking out, or whether or not Heather is seriously thought of taking out Erica, I mean, of course she's considered taking out Erica at some point, and so, I mean, I think that this was perfect for Erica, the way that she handled it. And I really found it to be brilliant, a brilliant way to diffuse the situation and show that you have control over your game. And just contrasting that with Deshaun and how he was playing, it really doesn't make Deshaun look too great. It makes him kind of look a little bad here.
Yeah. And I feel like, you know, depending on what the relationship is between Erica and Heather, I feel like such an easy explanation here is just like, of course I told him that. Like, right. Like obviously I didn't mean it. You know, but like, I'm not going to be like, sorry, I'm cutting you and taking Heather, because that would just put a bigger target on our backs. So yeah, like when he pressed, I said, sure. You know, again, that's harder to do when you have actually said the words to Deshaun and it wasn't in that exact context, but, which is why getting them to say it out loud is useful. But, you know, the way that Deshaun went about doing that and it's such a public way and such an obvious, like, I'm trying to sabotage you way, it's a lot easier to discredit him now, and tell your own version of that story, I think. Despite all of this, it is Danny that gets voted out. He says, go Cowboys. He said in his exit interview, because I misinterpreted this, I thought he was saying this to Deshaun because he told Deshaun about, you know, being an NFL player and everything. And it was kind of like a tip of his hat to Deshaun. It was actually apparently directed towards Xander, because he had told Xander as well that he played in the NFL. But I guess he didn't tell Xander what team he played for. So on his way out, that was his way of being like, hey, Xander, this is the team. And it was kind of like a no hard feelings. We're still cool.
Yeah. My big question here is what everyone else was thinking. Like, did they think that Danny is just a big fan of old Westerns, or like, what's the takeaway? I don't know. Do you think they made the connection?
No, my takeaway would have been, man, people in their sports. It's a weird time to talk about it, but sports people are weird. And then probably Xander and Deshaun would have been like, no, he plays in the NFL. Oh, okay. I guess that makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah. Good to know. That's good to sort through a little bit. Yeah. Cause Erica did look a little confused there, but whatever. They all kind of. We move on. We saw Danny. We said goodbye to him. He's a great guy. Great moments with him. Farewell, dear friend.
Yeah, and I really like Danny, and I feel like he really did come very close here, probably closer than you might have thought to winning this whole thing. If anybody other than Ricard wins this immunity, it appears that Ricard would have gone. Danny is safe here at the final six, heading into the final five with Ricard out of the game. He's got a halfway decent chance of winning immunity at five, and then potentially getting, you know, making fire at four, and potentially getting to the end. Considering that he has that connection to Xander, Xander has an idol. He may be able to play up to Xander as well. Like, hey, you want to keep me around over somebody like Deshaun? If that's the choice, if Xander wins immunity at five, he may convince Xander to play the idol on Danny in order to, hey, Xander, you want to make a move yourself, right? Like, that's a play that maybe he could have made, considering that relationship. And again, just even then, like, just surviving this one round, you're so close to the end. I think if Danny gets there with anybody other than Ricard, he probably wins, considering,
yeah,
you know, we literally saw people on the jury be like, I didn't want him to go. He came real close here. And you know, the way that Survivor works nowadays, it's very easy to get very close because so many people with all of the fire making and everything. But I think it should not go, his game should not go underappreciated, because it was, I think, very strong, very solid.
Yeah. Yeah. And the only thing that left kind of a bad taste in my mouth with Danny at the end is that, and I'll give him credit that this totally must come from his sports career, but he just seemed like too good of a sport. Like, he was okay. I don't want to say he was okay with being voted out, but he was like too okay with being voted out is sort of what came through in the words he said. And I just don't like to hear it. Like, I like people who go out kicking and screaming. And I kind of wonder if he had that killer instinct in the game. And the reason why I wonder about that is he hasn't been applying to Survivor or watching Survivor for like the last decade or a couple of decades, or he's been watching, I think, from my memory, since the pandemic started, really. So it's a newer interest for him, or maybe in the last few years. I can't remember. I'm confusing him with someone else, but like the point being that I wanted to see more fight from him in the end, but I like how he went out for him, and it, you know, maybe we'll get to see him again playing this game.
Yeah, I can see that. I could definitely see that. I do think that, you know, one of the things he talked about in his exit interviews is that the hourglass lie, as he describes it,
right,
really, really took him out of it. Like, it was a huge bummer that he just felt lied to and deceived, that, like, because it wasn't a twist. It was just a straight up lie. It was, you win the challenge, you lose. And I believe he went as far to say, like, I don't know if I'd want to play again. Like, I don't want to put myself in a spot where, like, that's the game, right? Like, it's not fun. And we, he confirmed that there was a lot more talk about that, and he really complained to Jeff and stuff. So, I imagine that probably had something to do with it, though I do think that in general, he is just kind of a laid back guy. And he's also, you know, he's found success in life. He's probably not like as, you know, like, I need to win Survivor.
Fair enough. Yeah. Hopefully he's having a good time somewhere in like a golden hot tub, or I don't know. Something really fancy. I don't know.
Yeah. We hear that, from this point forward, final five, there's 3 days left, but we're going to move them to a new beach and they're going to start from scratch.
Yeah.
This is interesting. I'm trying to think of like where this comes from, right? Because, I guess maybe where it comes from is that normally at this point in the game, there's not a ton of strategizing, right? Just down to who wins when, and then based on that, maybe they have to introduce some uncertainty. So maybe this is a way to be like, hey, now there's a new task, a new goal. They need to rebuild the shelter while they're doing all of these things. And there's something else to be showing at this time. It also appears like there might be some kind of new advantage thrown in here at five. They're right. Running around looking for things. Like, I could definitely see a scenario where it's like Edge of Extinction almost, where it's like they arrive at a new island and there's like a scavenger hunt, right? Like, there's a whole setup for some kind of advantage, maybe immunity, maybe, you know, one of those jury things or, I don't know, who knows, advantage in fire. I don't know, but, that could be part of it as well. Maybe it's tied somehow to being in this new area that they're living in. You know, I don't know, but I feel like there's potential here, but I'm also a little concerned.
Yeah. I think that, you know, I think your observations make sense here. I wonder, I mean, and who knows what this would even mean, but I wonder if they would go back to quote unquote Shipwheel Island. To me, it just seems strange to have a new setting that you're throwing people into, completely new, especially from the fan perspective, when it's like, wait, we just went from the camp, which we barely have an understanding of the layout of, to this completely new island that we didn't even know existed until the end of last episode. And so I'm kind of hoping that they're going to do something, at least from the narrative perspective, of bringing things full circle, going back. Maybe they're going to have to run up that hill and turn some ship wheels or something. But I mean, if they were, in my theory, going back to that island, I guess I wonder if, like, those who have been to Shipwheel Island, quote unquote, have, you know, would have some kind of advantage navigating. And I think of Xander immediately off the, but actually, I guess, like, Xander, Deshaun has been there. I don't know. This is just a theory, but do you think it would make sense for them to go back to that island, or do you just think this is going to be a completely new setting for them?
They really did love the hike.
They do like hikes.
So I could see like one final hike. I mean, it's almost like the, you know, the, what is it? The
rites of passage.
Rites of passage that they used to do. So I could see something like that where they go back there. But honestly, who knows? We'll just have to see.
We'll see it. Yeah. That's what we do.
So that was the episode. There was one more thing from the exit interviews that I wanted to get into that was particularly interesting to me, which is, I never really got a chance to talk too much about the Shan exit interviews because, I did the podcast before those were released because those were delayed because of Thanksgiving. But in those exit interviews, Shan talked about how Liana actually wasn't the first person to tell her about the plan to blindside Rickard. It was Danny. And a lot of people went, what? What do you mean? Why did Danny tell? So Danny explains that when they were conceiving of the idea to blindside Rickard, Deshaun really wanted to also blindside Shan. He didn't want to tell Shan. But Danny disagreed. Danny said, no, we can't do this without telling Shan. We're gonna tell Shan. And if she says no, then we'll have to figure something else out. This is not how we're gonna operate. So Danny went and talked to Shan. He said for like an hour. And, ultimately they both decided, yes, we are going to blindside Rickard. This is what we're doing. However, after that, Liana went to Shan and had that emotional conversation that we saw on the show where she talked about how they wanted to blindside Shan. And through that, there was this kind of, he assumes, miscommunication where it was like, from Liana's point of view, they wanted to blindside Shan still. And even though Danny told Shan, there was still probably this whole notion of like, well, Deshaun really wanted to blindside you or really wants to blindside you. And maybe Danny did this against his will or maybe Danny, whatever. Right. So, from his point of view, he was like, I talked to Shan. We talked this through. So when Shan heard it and she was like, they want to blindside me and it was an emotional conversation, Shan was like, well, screw Deshaun then. She flipped the whole thing around. She told Rickard, but from Danny's perspective, he just talked to Shan. She agreed and then told Rickard right after. And he was like, what the hell, Shan? And so that's kind of how this whole thing fell apart. And it makes a lot of sense with all of that context, I think, right?
Yeah, but I wonder if it's like, so the other thing I'm thinking about, and this was coming to mind when I was just thinking about, okay, what happens when Danny and Shan are together in the jury? Like, how do those conversations actually affect the actual game? And you know, it's interesting because we're at this point currently where Shan, at least from what we're seeing, Shan is very much I don't want to say she's anti Deshaun, but that's kind of what we would think from what happened. I wonder if like maybe even Shan having a better understanding of just kind of what happened and the fact that she was given more of a heads up than I think it totally seems like based on like the order of operations there. And so I wonder if Shan would be less upset with Deshaun because of the conversations that she'll have after this point where Danny's voted out with Danny in Ponderosa.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, when we talk about Deshaun and his rating this week, I think we definitely have to consider the fact, and I think this has kind of gone unreported, that Danny, popular with the jury, it seems, is about to head to the jury for a good 3 days where he could seriously put in some work for Deshaun. You know, Deshaun, in terms of the jury being upset with Deshaun, a lot of it just has to do with, again, it seems in these ex interviews, just that he's emotional, that he's a little bit overbearing at times to them. Mm-hmm. But if Danny is able to get in there and be like, he's a good guy. Like he's been playing so hard. He's been dealing with so much. And he explains the miscommunication that happened with Shan. And if he's able to get Shan to be not as anti Deshaun, maybe mm-hmm. as long as he's not sitting there with Ricard, Liana's already not there. If he can get Shan on board, I'm sure Shan has a lot of influence on the jury. I feel like there's definitely still plenty of hope for Deshaun. You can never underestimate the impact that having allies on the jury will do for you.
Yeah, and I mean, even at a base level, even if Shan were as angry as she probably was when she was voted out, there's still the other aspect. And I think we've mostly seen this through Deshaun's eyes, this, again, back to identity and just like representing Blackness as part of Survivor and as part of this alliance. I mean, there might already be a world. I would say that there's a good chance that there's already a world where Shan, where Danny, where Liana would be votes for Deshaun, just even rooted in that, because that goes so much deeper than the game. As we've seen, and so many people have learned in the last couple of episodes. And so, yeah, I'm really curious to see how things evolve, but I don't either way see Shan's feelings toward Deshaun necessarily bleeding over into, you know, a problem for Deshaun in Final Tribal. Now, I think maybe Deshaun's biggest issue is like actually getting there, but I don't know if that will actually affect him if he gets to the end at the end of next week's episode.
All right, well, let's get into the stock watch. Let's
do it.
Rate these players again from 1 to 10 based on how well we think they're doing in the game. 10 being the best, 1 being the worst. For me, I am again going to start. Heather. You know, it's Heather. It's Heather's being Heather. Yes. I gave her a 2 again. And really, I almost gave her a 3 just because I do think there are a couple of good things that came from this episode. One is that Erica seems to think that Heather has a chance of, like, at the very least stealing votes from her, which is like more than I think at this mm-hmm. time. Also, like, she should be the safest person in the game right now. Should be is the key word there, though. I don't think like she hasn't done anything to advance her own position in this game in terms of her perceived, you know, threat to the jury. She did seem to, like, in the episode make some kind of like connection or like whatever it was, the conversation she had with Deshaun. But you know, looking at the exit interviews, like, a lot of people do not like Heather. I don't know that, I mean, that certainly doesn't seem to have changed. So for me, it's just like this is a no-go.
Yeah, and I mean, to give her, I also give her a 2 here, because I mean, I honestly might have wanted, I probably wanted to give her a 1 coming into this week, but like, she did build that bond with Deshaun, as you mentioned. And, you know, she also was with Ricard when they noticed that Danny disappeared, which it probably wasn't a very difficult thing to do because there were only three of them there and two of them were together in that moment. So maybe that speaks more to Danny. And again, maybe that was a positive thing for Danny to kind of come off as searching for and potentially having the idol like we've talked about. But, you know, we did also see Heather's name discussed as a target here or as someone who might potentially need to be taken out. And I mean, I don't know if that's a good move. I don't actually, that's not a great move. That's not a good move at all. But I also would say that it also reflects poorly on Heather. Like, why would they be talking about taking you out at this point? They're not even, again, as far as we know, based on the edit, talking about taking Erica out. So I don't feel great for Heather's chances in a lot of ways. I think a lot of us probably gave up on her when the jury were rolling their eyes at her previously. But, you know, she's at a two level. She's still in there fighting. So good for Heather. And maybe she'll climb next week. Who knows?
Yeah, I mean, she's the person most likely to be in the final three, but I think the person least likely to win the game overall.
Absolutely.
So after Heather, I've got Danny. He got voted out this episode. Obviously not great. But I will say, I mean, again, I feel like I've given some pretty high ratings to the people voted out consistently this season. High, you know, relative to the fact that they were voted out. And that I feel like that's primarily because I feel like pretty consistently the person that was the target isn't the person that left. Like Danny wasn't the target here. Right. It was Ricard. And if anybody other than Ricard had won this immunity, Danny would have been safe and he would have had a great chance to win the whole thing. That said, we did still have, like, his elimination was presented to us in a way that seemed to imply that Deshaun had built better relationships with the other players. And that's why they chose to keep him around despite his other antics with truth bombs and such. So, I do think I've got to dock him a bit for that. So for me, I went with a four for Danny. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I think that Danny could have done more. I was a little bit generous with him with a five here, just because I think going into this episode, you know, with the social connections that he did have, even though they weren't as strong as Deshaun's, he was so well regarded. But I just wanted him to do more. And we talked about this So you've mentioned it with social bonds in particular, but I like the fact that he searched for the idol, of course, and that he didn't just lay down. I like the fact that he pretended actively, apparently, that he had the idol. But again, you know, if we're being results oriented, which I like to be, it didn't work out too well for him. So I'm giving him a little bit of an extra boost with the five, I guess, right?
Yes. All right. Well, let's talk about the next person. Deshaun. Mm-hmm. I actually had a really tough time with this one because obviously he makes such a big mistake here with calling Erica out. I can't figure out the logic. It makes him look real bad. But I'm trying to like parse out, okay, Does it actually hurt him that much, right? Going into the next round, Xander's lock safe. If Ricard doesn't win immunity, they all have to vote out Ricard anyway. If Ricard does win immunity, is Erica really going to vote out Heather over Deshaun if he doesn't do this? I don't think so. Are Xander and Ricard going to go along with that, even if she did want to? I don't think so. So I'm pretty sure he gets voted out over Erica or Heather if Ricard wins immunity, regardless of whether he drops this truth bomb at five. If he doesn't go at five and he makes it to four, I would again feel like, is Erica, in the event that Erica somehow wins final four immunity and has the choice of who to put into fire making, is she really going to put Heather into fire instead of either Ricard or Xander and Deshaun? Like, I don't think so. I don't think this really actually did much to hurt his immediate future game. If anything, that almost benefit that I talked about, where it's like now he looks like more of a fool, could help him a little bit in terms of like just overall threat level. Like if it's a choice of who do I prefer out between Deshaun and Xander at four. I mean, again, I think that they both go into the fire making anyway. And so I don't think I would actually say that it helps him. I do think that ultimately it does hurt him with the jury, and that's an overall net negative, but I don't think it's quite as devastating as it should be, quite frankly. And I'm going to still dock him for how bad this should be. But when I am looking at his actual prospects, I don't think it hurts that much. And in addition to that, like I talked about, he's got Danny on the jury now. Danny's got 3 days on the jury that he can really put in some work for him. And as I said, as long as Ricard doesn't win immunity next round, Deshaun is into the final four. All he has to do is win fire, which could be very easy if he wins. Okay, so let's say Ricard loses immunity at five. Mm. Final four immunity is Deshaun, Xander, Erica, Heather. Deshaun has a great chance of winning that straight out. If he doesn't win, the next most likely person to win is Xander. If Xander wins, then it's probably Deshaun versus Erica at fire. Erica, unfortunately, and this is going to have to play into her rating, didn't seem to be great at fire when she was alone, right? She kind of struggled with it. So I would definitely give major advantage to Deshaun in that spot. And then he's in the final three with a very decent chance to win. If it's against Heather and Xander, something like that, I wouldn't hate that at all at this point. So I actually feel like he's still... worked out that he survived this round. He's still got a good chance to win this thing, I think.
Yeah, I agree. And I think that it's tough because if we just look at this episode and his performance in the episode, that it's tough. You know, he didn't look great in this episode between just everything. There's a lot that you could kind of break down from a strategic perspective about what didn't look great, but also, even just what I kind of felt like was like a Deshaun, are you crazy moment with like the letters from loved ones versus the chicken and vegetables and the candy and cookies and everything else. Like I didn't feel like it made him look great. And so I would put him like just for his performance in the episode alone between that, which I just mentioned, but also, calling out Erica and then being shut down from multiple angles. And just like this whole thought of the truth bomb feeling, I again, based on the episode, I would generously want to give Deshaun a four, but I keep thinking of his long-term prospects in the game and how he'll do. And I feel like because I think he has a good chance at the end still, I would give him a six in this spot. Which is, yeah, I think, still a little generous, but I'd give him a six.
I'm in the same spot. I almost went with the five because I was like, really, this was, again, it was a tough one. So I was really trying to like be specific in terms of like short term, long term, this episode, performance in this episode. And that led me to more of a five. But there's just something there that I feel like it has to be a six. I feel like his chances to win are just they're higher. They're higher than you might think. I think obviously we could be wrong. So that's where we've got Deshaun. Next up I have and not necessarily in any particular order here, but next up I have Xander. I was pretty hard on Xander last week because I really didn't like the extra vote thing. And I feel like this has been the case for Xander a lot of the time. Like every week he's been doing something in the episode that I've been like, what are you doing? Why'd you do that? This is the first week where I'm like, okay, boom. Thank you, Xander. Yes, you should be going after Ricard. He wanted to keep Danny. I feel like that was the wrong play. Ultimately, he keeps Deshaun. So I'm not going to fault him too much. As far as I know, he reconsidered and was fully on board with this. It wasn't that he like didn't want to go along with it. I think losing Danny is great for him because he now has a very good shot of winning. Again, if Ricard is gone, he's got a good chance. I think now Danny is saying some bad things in terms of Xander's win prospects in his exit interviews, talking about how people did not really respect Xander as a player. They just kind of ignored him, right? Everything that I've been talking about, essentially, that that perception is reality in this game, and the perception of Xander is not the same. It's like, even though he's in the position of like a Devins or a Ben or something like that, they're kind of just like, you know what? Go ahead. Do your thing. We're just going to play the game over here while you do that. And so that's not great. However, there's reason to believe that Deshaun might struggle with a jury vote, right? There's reason to believe that Erica could have a good chance with the jury, but that's not guaranteed. She's concerned that she might lose to Heather. So there's definitely reason to believe that he could beat her, especially if he does some, you know, good stuff, maybe speaks well for himself in the final tribal. We know he can speak pretty well. And when you really stop to think about it, he's guaranteed safety at final five. So his short-term safety is higher than anybody's.
Right.
That's assuming that there, cause there's a small theory that I have, and it's a fake theory. Don't worry. But it's a small fake theory. Does Xander even remember that he has an idol? Is he going to remember to play it at five?
Oh my gosh, Taryn, you can't put out theories like that. You're dropping the conspiracy bombs in here.
I mean, he didn't play it. Ricard was the target. Ricard wins immunity. And as far as we know, Xander didn't even consider playing his idol. I don't know that I could have not played my idol here at the final five. It's one of the last two times to play it. And if I'm anybody else in the game, even if you think I'm a joke, the fact that I have an idol is so dangerous to you, because going into the final five, that is guaranteed one extra person that could be safe that's not me. And it dramatically decreases my odds of surviving the final four or final five, just the fact that you have that idol. Now, if I'm able to get you out now, then my odds go way up. But it doesn't seem like anybody really considered it. And it doesn't seem like he considered even playing it. Maybe they've all forgotten he has it. Maybe he lost it. Maybe he doesn't have any. He put it somewhere. I didn't remember.
Oh my gosh, this is so much to think about. I'm overwhelmed here. The thing is, we didn't get to see a lot of we didn't get to see as much from him about like what does he think about Erica? And I'm curious about how Xander views Erica in this game, because I mean, she's doing a lot. She's making a lot of moves. The problem, and again, this is the survivor problem of like not having all the details and information, is that we just don't know a lot of details. Like, it would be great, I think, for Xander if we are starting out next week's episode and we're seeing him target Erica, or maybe kind of having something to say about what's going to happen with her or with others. But he kind of, in my mind, took a back seat here. And you know, it's good that he recognizes that they need someone to take Ricard out. I thought it was interesting that Xander didn't necessarily see himself as that person, or at least in theory, and what he said didn't claim that he'd be the person who could beat Ricard and take immunity so that Ricard is vulnerable and then take him out. Good question about the idol, though. I'd like to give him credit that he hasn't forgotten it. But actually it'd be hilarious if he has or lost it somewhere.
I mean, we do know that some of them did forget about the shot in the dark. So
yeah. But then, you know, like, he has it. He probably has it on. Maybe he doesn't have it on him at all times. Anything could happen in this game. This is the new era.
So here's what I like about Xander's spot right now. I like what he did in this episode. I feel like he made correct decisions. I also really like his odds of being in the final three, right? Like, I think that Xander has one of the highest likelihoods behind Heather of getting there. If he is straight up immune at final five, which he should be considering he has an idol, then he is at worst in the fire making challenge at four. And again, he's in a spot where if he wins immunity at four, he doesn't even need to do fire. If he doesn't win at four, chances are the person that's going to be tougher to beat at Fire is the person that won, and he probably won't have to face that person. He'll probably be facing either Erica or Heather, which I think he would probably have at least a slight edge over. So like generously, I think he's got like close to a coin flip of just even getting to the final three,
right,
alone. Just like, just pure odds at that point. So, I think that's really great. Then, again, most of the scenarios where he does make it to final three, he's not there with Ricard. And if he's not there with Ricard, his biggest competition will be either Deshaun or Erica. Like, it will probably be one of those two. And it's definitely possible that he loses to them, but I don't hate that spot for him. He's got a shot for sure. So for me, this episode, I gave him a 7.
I gave him a 6. And it's mostly because it just doesn't seem like the jury has any respect for him in terms of, you know, what he's saying. And I think that actually what Erica has done, which is really thinking about, like, will the jury, or at least verbalizing, will the jury be able to differentiate my game from Heather's game, is probably something that Xander should be thinking about with, you know, everybody in the end, because it seems like he thinks he's done a lot in the game, or he feels like he's done a lot in the game. We've heard a lot from him over the course of the season about moves he's made and how he's approached things, but it doesn't seem like that's translated. And that is kind of, I think, a killer for a lot of people in the end, where they're not necessarily thinking, has the jury seen what I've seen, what I know? And we haven't seen him take steps to actually communicate to the jury just how good his game is, if it's good. So that's kind of where the 6 comes from for me. I just don't see a world where, you know, even if it's Xander, Erica, Deshaun in the end, that Xander wins. Like, to me, I'm not sure who has a better chance between Deshaun and Erica, but I definitely see them getting more votes than Xander there. But I mean, a 6 is pretty good for having a, you know, again, you know, of course, that short-term safety, which we talked about, but then also, you know, not having a great chance in the end in my eyes. I just don't see it for him. Sorry to you, Xander.
Well, we also have to talk, of course, about,
yes,
Ricard, who definitely seems to be set up in the position where if he makes it to the end, he wins. Easy. No debate. Everybody agrees. Ricard makes it there. He wins. Only 2 rounds to get there. We know he's the best competitor out there. That's not bad. This is a pretty good spot to be in. I think the most at risk he's, obviously the most at risk he's going to be is next round at 5. he just beat 5 other people to get immunity at 6. He's going to have to beat 4 other people at immunity to get, this at 5. But that is, I think that's going to be a tough one. I mean, it's, you know, it's one thing to win a couple of immunities. It's another to win a few of them back to back. If he can win that immunity, I think he's really set up to do very well. But his short-term safety is very low, because anybody other than him winning means he is definitely gone. And even if he does survive the next round, he will have to win either immunity or fire again to get to 3. And again, he is the most capable of doing that. But it's still a tough thing to do. You can't slip up once. You can't make a single error, a single mistake. And that's a dangerous place to be. So I also have him at a 7, just because the road is a lot rockier to get there.
Mm-hmm. I have him at a 7 too. And, you know, just also thinking about the fact that Deshaun, Erica, Xander had their meal, so they have that fuel, that all important fuel that Jeff really loves in them. I think that's something that, you know, Ricard is incredibly capable, but every little bit matters. And I see him slipping up. Like, if he is able to do it, amazing, but it's a it's a big hill to climb, and they've had him on their radar for so long that there's not a chance that they would obviously shift directions to anyone else. So, I mean, again, seven is pretty good for him in this spot, even though, you know, he could very well slip up.
Yeah. Also worth noting, I think in this episode, he does lose Xander. He is the target here. If he hadn't won immunity, he would have been out. I don't fault him too much for that, because, again, that is a trade-off that you have when you're in this position, that you're definitely going to win if you get there. But, you know, would have been nice if he'd been able to still have nobody vote him out. Like, that's the real top level, right? Wasn't quite able to pull that off, but he is still in a position to potentially win this game. And that, of course, leads us to Erica.
Winner, winner, chicken and vegetable dinner.
And I do still feel like Erica is probably the most likely person to win based on the game, based on the strategic position of where she is. I think that she, like Xander, should be pretty safe next round. Worst case scenario, Ricard wins immunity. They can't vote out Ricard. If he doesn't win immunity, he's out. If he does win immunity, he's safe. Xander has an idol. Xander can play the idol on himself. He's safe. She still shouldn't go out, right? Because it should be Deshaun at that point. Maybe they take out Erica. Maybe they feel like Deshaun at this point is so bad that like he can't win a jury vote. Maybe then they take out Erica. Maybe also like Erica and Heather are a duo. Maybe that does put a target on Erica's back. So maybe she's not quite that safe, because I just talked myself into her being potentially in danger. However, right. I still feel like the instinct there would be Deshaun, especially if you're Xander and Ricard, because there is still a very good reason to keep Erica around, which is that Deshaun is a bit more likely to beat you in that Final Four immunity. And that's going to be a very important Final Four immunity for the both of them. So I do think that she has a very, very good chance of surviving the next round. And then we get into the Final Four. Now, this is where I think she's the most in danger, because, you know, looking at challenge performance, she has not been bad at challenges, but she's probably going to have to face some of the better challenge performers, right? Either Xander and Ricard or Xander and Deshaun. Either way, they're both pretty good. They both are probably going to, you know, eat up the majority of the win equity in that Final Four immunity. And that's probably going to put her in a position where, you know, if Xander wins, he's probably going to put her up against Ricard and Fire. Or maybe with Ricard, he puts himself. Maybe that's the thing, right? Maybe that's the play. But like the safe play is her against Ricard or her against Deshaun, or if Deshaun or Ricard win, they put her up against Xander or whoever, right? She's probably going to have to make Fire against Xander, Deshaun, or Ricard. Now the chat is telling me, hey, she did make Fire on that island. I remember her making Fire, but also I feel like I remember her struggling to make Fire. I could be wrong. That's just my memory of it.
Yeah, the other thing I was gonna throw out there too, because she did. I do remember her struggling. I'm pretty sure she made it eventually, but she also she did. She has one immunity win under her belt too. So yeah. I mean, maybe she can pull out an immunity win here. I think it's interesting, and I would love to see a world where, of course, Ricard doesn't win the next immunity, where Deshaun doesn't win, but where Erica wins, because, you know, it almost bothers me how little people are talking about Erica as a threat in the game. And, you know, there are probably a lot of reasons for that. And we haven't really seen, I mean, like talking about a woman as a winner of Survivor is one thing, but we haven't really seen a more quiet player who has like gotten to the end and been rewarded that win. So maybe that recently, I should say. So maybe that's a reason why they're not bringing her up. But I still feel great about her chances. And I think it's really powerful that she played such a strong, from what we saw, such a strong game, a powerhouse game, a vocal game, a very strategic game in this past episode. It'll be interesting to see if people notice that or pick up on that. But to me, it just seems like she's still floating Don't even call it floating. She's buzzing her way to the end, and it's kind of impressive. So, I mean, I don't know if anything's going to really get in her way here, other than, again, just the fact that there'll be limited options if she doesn't win immunity at that next vote. And then I also see a world where, like, Deshaun might not want to have Erica around, especially after that last tribal. And so there's a little bit of a threat to her short-term safety, but I want to think that she'll get past that, especially because she hasn't really been on people's radars for basically all of this game.
Yeah. So for me, I feel like the most danger she's in is here at four.
Yeah.
But you know, the thing about trying to predict challenge performance is that, especially in Survivor, really could be anything. And as you said, like, she did, it was like a split tribe one that she won, but like, she did very well in that one. Again, she's not been bad at the challenges. She did make fire at one point. And also, you never know, like, how much people have been practicing toward the end, right? Like, fire. Like, I feel like you can say, hey, this person was bad at fire at the merge. That does not mean they're still bad at fire, right? Like, she could have been practicing since the merge, knowing that this is a possibility, that I at least hope that is the case, right? So, definitely still a very good chance, I think, that she gets there to the end. I think if she makes it to the final three, again, pretty good chance she's not there with Ricard. As long as she's not there with Ricard, it's probably either Xander or Deshaun, both of whom I think she has a great shot at beating, considering all of the ways that she's been described by other players in the game, and some of the ways that Deshaun and Xander have been described in the game. So the combination of likelihood to get there and likelihood to win, I think, is probably highest with Erica. I'm still going to give her a 7 this episode, though, and that's primarily because I really did not like that she felt like she was going to lose to Heather. And I'm still concerned that she may make a decision in the future that doesn't bring Heather to the end. And I feel like that could be very bad for her.
Yeah, I didn't like that either, but I'll give her the benefit of the doubt here. And again, I can't get over the fact that it really doesn't seem like people are looking at her as a threat, or at least the threat that she is in this game. And so, Taryn, I would give her a 9. I'd give Erica a 9 here.
There we go. I like that. Man, I would. Now, okay. So we haven't really talked too much about the, it's been talked about that, like, if this is the Erica winner edit, like, that's kind of disrespectful to Erica. At the same time, like, I would be thrilled with an Erica win. So I'm like, I'm like, yes, but like, can't it still happen?
No, but new era. Heather could.
Let's deal with that after the fact. Let's focus right now on getting there. Then we can complain after.
Right. Yeah. It'll be really interesting. I mean, if she wins, like, there are all of the edgic people and people who are watching the show, like, she's not even on the episode. How is she going to win? And crossed her off the list from the beginning. But it's a new era. That's the problem with all of this. It's a new era. So anything could happen. I mean, maybe Jeff's going to switch up the rules and switch the jury with the final three. And then, you know, maybe Shan's going to win this season, like I've thought all along. So it could happen.
Okay. So that's, did you give, you gave her a number.
Yes. A confident 9.
Confident 9. We gave the ratings for this week. That's not necessarily, though, an indication of who we think is going to win the game. And because this is the penultimate Stockwatch podcast, right. I want an official prediction, Matt. Who is the winner of Survivor 41?
I have to give it to Erica. I really have to give it to Erica. Like, because behind Erica, you know, despite our rankings, I would actually say Deshaun. just because I think there might be some magic worked in the jury. So, but I want to give it to Erica. And again, something miraculous has to happen, or a lot has to happen, for the game to turn against her. And we're just not there yet. And I don't know, maybe it'll happen in the finale, but we haven't seen it yet. So I have to think it's going to be Erica.
All right. I'm going to pick Deshaun. I think Deshaun's the winner. Yeah. I just feel like,
yeah,
I feel like he, you know, again, without getting too, because first of all, in terms of like edgy talk, I don't think, as far as I'm aware, there's not really a consensus pick here. That people are all over the place, right? For me, it feels like Deshaun has been such a prominent character. And even just this episode, it was so focused on Deshaun. It feels like the Deshaun story. And I feel like he's played a very good game. And I know that like recently it's sort of, taken a certain trajectory, especially with the audience. But it still feels to me like I feel like it's, I could very well be wrong. I feel like it's a very tricky one to predict, but I think it's Deshaun.
Or you could very well be right. And I mean, like I was saying, that's a good bet there. I feel like as much as we talk about Ricard and like he needs to not mess up, when I look at Ricard, I see someone who's steady, who's locked in. And then you kind of look over to Deshaun and it's just not that at all at this point. And so I mean, I kind of feel like, unfortunately, maybe he will be, or I don't want to say he'll be his own worst enemy in this case, but that might kind of be what it is, unfortunately. And hey, I mean, I think we have some good picks. It could be Ricard. It could be Xander. It could be Danny. It could be Heather, though. Mm. It could also be Shan if they flip the jury in the final three. But that's my conspiracy theory.
Yeah. Well, that's what we've got. That's what we've got for this podcast. It's an interesting one. I feel like this is perhaps the first time in a long time that I've felt like genuinely, for me, I feel like there's at least three people that I'm like, I could easily see them win. And a fourth that's like, sure, I could still also see that. And that's pretty wild, because normally I'm like, I've got one person, maybe a second person who's in there with a shot. Right. So I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing. Right. Like some people really enjoy it. I have also heard from some people that they're like, I don't know how much I care right now. Because there isn't really quite the like protagonist that you're like really hoping for. That classic winner edit doesn't quite exist this season.
Yeah.
I think for me, I kind of like it, but we'll see.
Yeah. I mean, here's what I'll say is that Jeff has been talking about the new era, and I mean, so much of Survivor is Survivor. It's just so much of it's the same. We have seen the twists and the advantages and all of that, which is new era. But to me, I kind of feel like it just needs to end feeling different than it normally does too. And like Erica, again, someone we might not normally expect could take it. But I don't know. We'll see. I like what you're saying, though. Yeah, there are four people who could potentially win this game. And hopefully Heather feels like a winner, too, after all of this.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's what we have for you. Thank you so much for joining us this week. I will, of course, be back next week with the finale Stockwatch podcast. And we'll talk all about the finale. We'll rate the winner, and all kinds of fun stuff like that. So we'll have fun with that next week. I will also be live on Twitch during the, I believe 3-hour finale. So if you want some company while you watch, come find me on Twitch, twitch.tv/Taryn Armstrong. Matt, where can people find you?
Probably on your Twitch over the course of the finale, but also you could find me at Matt Scott GW on social media, on all the platforms. And also I'm the co-host of the Wrestling Wrap Up over on the reality TV wrap up speed with the one, the only Mari Forth. And so come along, you could become a wrestling fan. Or if you are a wrestling fan, news alert, RHAP has a wrestling podcast, believe it or not. And so that's what we're covering. If you want to kind of get into it, there's a playlist of clips in every single episode we have. So like if you, I don't know, if you pick a date that you like and go back into the archives and watch the playlist and kind of get up to date on it. But yes, you could hear me on the Wrestling Rehab Up, and who knows where I'll pop up next on RHAP. Always, always things in the works. And so stay tuned. And again, follow me at Matt Scott GW. Taryn, back to you in the studio.
All right. Well, thank you. Thank you all again for joining us. Thank you, Matt, for joining me here this week, and I will see all of you next time.
Yeah, Taryn's back to give you deeds again. He's digging deep on Survivor to find you everything you need. So if your life is packed, let Taryn and his friends break down the episode beyond what the casual see. Hey.